As twilight had settled over the shoreline, Anya's work in her journal had totally absorbed her.
Hey! There's something caught in the tide!
Anya looked up at the incoming tide. It was calm and peaceful. Of course, things had been pretty peaceful last night until the tsunami hit, she reminded herself. She scanned the white caps as they rolled to the shore. The bonfire they'd lit for the Coast Guard to find them was bright. Silver moonlight turned the sea a dusky gray. Flashlight beams played over the water for a moment, then focused on an object twisting slowly on the waves. Every now and again it crested the whitecaps. It vaguely resembled a manta ray, but no manta ray Anya had ever seen boasted a hollow-eyed skull riding it. Anya shoved her journal and pen into her backpack. She grabbed her mini mag light from one of the outside pockets and stood. She'd taken 3 steps toward the sea before she remembered the pistol she'd taken from the men. She returned for it and tucked it into the back of her waistband. After taking the handgun and a couple of spare magazines for it, she'd thrown the other weapons into the sea. None of the other dig members knew how to use a pistol or rifle with any degree of skill. Even if they did, shooting someone was a whole different matter.
That's a skull!
Sansar, you're imagining things.
No, I swear, I saw a skull out there.
Most of the dig members scooted in toward the fire. Fear of the darkness and what lies in it was natural. Lochata joined Anya. They walked down to the pounding surf together.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Was it a skull?
It sure looked like a skull.
Perhaps it was from the sacrificial pit.
For the professor to mention that, Anya knew Lochata was concerned that it came from somewhere else. The mass mired up 15 feet from the shore. It bobbed in the water, and every now and again, the moonlight gave a hint of rounded ivory in the folds of whatever had floated in from the sea. Anya stripped off her hiking boots and stepped into the water.
Do you want company?
No.
Oh, good. Let me know if you need me.
Anya shone the light on the mass that had wrapped around a rock in the shallows. It wasn't an octopus. It wasn't a manta ray. Nothing predatory. The folds moved on the tide, and the skull rolled loosely. Suddenly, the skull disappeared into the dark water. Anya saw that it was some kind of mud-smeared fabric. She took hold of it gingerly and pulled while she tracked it with the flashlight. The skull rolled out and fell into the water. 2 arms, a handful of ribs, a pelvic girdle, and a leg dropped out as well.
Great.
What is it?
Some sort of cloth. And most of a body.
A body?
Yeah.
Anya turned the flashlight so it struck the water surface at an angle. She used her peripheral vision to search for the ivory-colored bones beneath the gentle waves. The first thing she found was a small gold box. A picture of a female Naga was embossed on its side. After Jason had learned the body was nothing more than a collection of bones, he ventured out into the shallows to help Anya with her search. Between the two of them, they found the skeletal remains quickly. After weighting the fabric down with rocks, they piled the bones onto the cloth. When they were sure they had all they were going to find, they pulled on the fabric and discovered it was rotted. Jason returned to the shore for one of the coolers they'd found, and they put the bones in it. Seated by the fire, Anya examined the gold box she'd discovered. Remembering to document the find, she removed her digital camera from her backpack.
What is that? Is that gold?
Shut up.
Did you find a treasure out there?
Anya stood up and walked to the pile of driftwood the dig crew had gathered. She took out a 3-foot piece that wasn't quite as big around as her wrist.
Hey, what are you? Hey, leave me alone!
She walked behind the leader and twisted his arm to get him to stand. When he was on his feet, she ran the stick between his elbows to pull his arms backward. Anya tripped him, and he landed face first on the ground, turned away from her working area.
Anybody else want to spend the night on his stomach? Anyone?
The other 3 men looked away from Anya. She felt bad about the rough way she'd treated the man, but they were out in the jungle away from the civilized world, and the man had found a way to terrorize the dig team even while restrained. She didn't owe him any kindness. She quashed her guilt and returned to work. A quick search through the artist's kit Anya kept for drawing sketches turned up a graphite stick. She turned to a blank page in her journal and began a rubbing. She needed to document all six sides of the cube. Several of the university students sat around her in a semicircle to watch her work. Their attention made her feel a little self-conscious. Jason had his own small group in eager attendance as he attempted to put the skeleton back together.
Why is she doing rubbings if she's already taken pictures and drawn the cube?
Anybody want to answer that? Anya is employing a very old-school technique.
Thank you very much for the old part, Anya thought glumly. She was only 4 or 5 years older than most of the students, and suddenly she felt ancient by comparison.
Both the digital images and the drawings can be inexact to replicate the cube. Neither of those methods offers a true measurement of the object. The rubbings allow her to be more exact.
Why would she want to replicate it?
In case the original is lost.
Or if she has to surrender it to the custody of the ASI after we're rescued.
That was exactly what Anya figured would happen. Lochata was required to report anything of material value to the Archaeological Survey of India when she found it, especially since it had been found in boundary waters.
It's leaking.
What does that mean?
It must mean...
that there's a void somewhere inside the cube.
Anya had already been searching for a means of opening the cube to reveal its secrets. As she turned it over in her hands, she noticed that the Naga's eyes were mismatched. The snake woman looked almost cross-eyed. She opened her Leatherman multi-tool and flipped open the smallest blade. Carefully, she turned the cube toward the best possible light and eased the blade's point against the left eye. Gold was a soft metal. She knew she could easily score it by mistake. When she pressed on the left eye, nothing happened. She switched to the other. The motion of the mechanism releasing inside the cube was so slight that she thought at first she'd only imagined it. Then a line appeared at the top of the cube. After she returned the knife to her backpack, Anya twisted the top of the cube and found it turned easily. Two quarter turns freed the top. She turned the cube upside down and dumped the contents and the rest of the seawater into her palm. The object inside the cube was a heavy gold ring. The ring was formed from the body of a female Naga wrapping around herself to grab her tail in both hands above her head. Her breasts were turned outward and stood proudly. Sapphire chips glinted in her eye sockets.
Okay, somebody was into porn.
One of the first things archaeology students learned in their coursework was that sex wasn't a new invention, nor was the incessant interest in it. Anya reached for her camera. Jason hunkered down on his haunches and smoothed his hair back with one hand. 2 days in the wild without hair products had left him looking shaggy. Anya surveyed the collection of bones laid out on the sand, which he had carefully arranged.
The first thing you gotta know is that you're not dealing with one body here. You're looking at two.
How do you know that?
First off, these bones belong to a man and a woman. That belonged to a woman. Wider hips are always a giveaway. The skull there belonged to a man. Anya, can I keep this one?
No.
Spoil sport.
How do you know that is a man's skull?
Because the bones Jason's laid out with the skull are longer and thicker. And do you see this bump here at the back? That's the occipital protuberance. Ones that are more pronounced, like this, come from males. And also, you can see that the brow ridges are heavy.
You missed the teeth, Anya. Big teeth. Guys tend to have big teeth.
Yes, big teeth.
Who tore them apart?
They weren't torn apart. The bones simply became disarticulated.
What does that mean?
It means that these skeletons were down there long enough for the flesh, cartilage, and sinew to dissolve.
What killed them?
I don't know. I couldn't find any marks on them to indicate a violent death. At least not on the pieces I have here. If Anya can find me the rest of the bodies, maybe I can tell you.
I'll pass on that.
Who knows? By morning, the sea might just wash the rest of the bodies in.
Great. Thanks for that, freak. I won't get any sleep tonight.
Like you were gonna sleep anyway with murderers tied up only inches away from you.